Morning and welcome to this time of worship. My name is Kyle Rogers, one of the pastors on staff, and it is good to be with you this morning for all of those who are watching. For those that are maybe tuning in for the first time with Franconia Mennonite Church, we welcome you to this time, and we hope that you, as well as all of those tuning in, are blessed through this time by our good, good Father. In Galatians 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." See, Paul knew this would bring healing to hurting people and also provide opportunities for believers to help one another. We just want to acknowledge that during this time of confusion and social distancing, we recognize that there are still needs in the community and world. If you or anybody that you know has a need, whether it is spiritual or physical, please contact the church office and ask to speak to a pastor. We would love to help you, and we would love to offer you prayer through this time. Sharing each other's burdens, allowing Christ to work through us to our community and the world. Would you join me in prayer as we begin our time of worship? Good God, you are all-powerful. Your reign is from everlasting to everlasting. You, Father God, are the Good Shepherd, the Good Shepherd who walks with us in our valleys, who comforts us in our need, who helps bring us back to gatherings when we have gone astray. Lord, during this time of worship, we lift your name on high. And we pray that this time of worship glorifies you and your kingdom forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So I'm going to sing is called God is Able, and it's just a reminder, it's an encouragement that God is bigger, right? God is capable of doing the unthinkable, the unimaginable, because that is God. God's nature is he is able to do all things.
God is able. Lifted up, he defeated the grave.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are able. Father, you are the way maker. When we feel like there is not a way, when we feel like there is no way to push through, you make a way. As our good shepherd, you guide us along the path that leads to righteousness. When we go astray, Lord God, we ask for your forgiveness. The sin in our lives is something that we need to acknowledge, and so we ask you, Father, search our hearts, convict us, and cleanse us. Make us whiter than snow. We pray, Lord Jesus, for your coming again. It is a day we all long for. To see you come and rise us up to your everlasting kingdom. Lord, we pray for this day because it is your name that will be known. It is you, Lord Jesus, that every knee will bow and declare you Lord of all. Until this day, we pray for those who are in you to be used as your vessels, Lord, to spread your word, your truth. The truth that cuts, but the truth that also heals. May it be known to everyone. And may we, Lord Jesus, who know the truth, have the strength to share this. Give us opportunities in the days and weeks ahead to share your word. And Father, during this time, we acknowledge that there are those that are close to us that are struggling. There are those that are close to us that are sick. And there are those that are close to us that have passed on. We ask you, Lord, to provide strength to those who are struggling, healing to those who are sick, and comfort to those who have lost loved ones. It is sometimes confusing to understand why things happen the way they do. But as I was reminded this morning, Lord, trusting in you, Father, trusting in your Son, Jesus, who has given us the gift of salvation and a way to everlasting life, that is where we can find peace. Trusting in your ways, which your word tells us, Lord, are higher than our ways. And Father, we ask that you bless Pastor Mark as he shares your word this morning. Anoint him, O God, with your spirit. May we have ears to hear and hearts to hear what you are saying through him and eyes to see what you are doing in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen. A few announcements to share before we continue. We would like to just share that Franconia Mennonite Church is offering support and care. The Sharing Fund and Community Needs account continue to be available for those in financial difficulty. So we ask that you just please call the church office to talk to someone on the pastoral team for yourself or for someone that you may know. We also want to acknowledge that applications for camp grants are being accepted right now. So if you are interested in signing your child up for camp this year, whether it is for Spruce Lake or another summer camp, we would like you to fill out an application if you're interested in a grant, and you can email that to me at my account, krogers@franconiamennonite.org. And today we also want to acknowledge that it is Mother's Day. And as a church, we want to celebrate with all mothers and grandmothers around. But as a church, we also want to acknowledge that we have mothers that come from different backgrounds. So in my preparation, I came across this beautiful acknowledgement that I would like to share with you all this morning. To those who gave birth this year to a child, we celebrate with you. To those who have lost a child, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who have experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married or are mothering your own children, we mourn with you that life has not turned out the way you have longed it to be. To those who are step-parent, we walk with you on these complex times. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not yet to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve with you and we also rejoice with you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. And now we'd like to share with you this video honoring Mother's Day.
Before you closed your eyes to sleep, I have a promise still to keep. As I hold you in my arms, I pray your little frame grows strong and that faith takes hold while you are young. This is my prayer for you. May you trust him till the end. May you trust him in the end. This world is not as it should be, but the Savior opens eyes to see all that's beautiful and true. Oh, may his light fill all you are, and the jewel of wisdom crown your heart. This is my prayer for you. Through the joys, through his years, he is with us till the end. He is faithful till the end.
Thank you, Diane, for putting that together. That was beautiful. And thank you to everybody for submitting pictures. What a wonderful way to celebrate Mother's today. So have you ever wondered how Mother's Day even got started? People started honoring mothers a long time ago. And when it first started, it was called Mothering Sunday. Then, after 150 years ago, a woman named Anna Jarvis organized a day to bring awareness to the poor health conditions in her community, something she thought mothers believed in doing, and she called it Mother's Work Day. After Anna Jarvis died, her daughter, who was also named Anna, wanted to honor all that her mother did. Anna heard her mother say that one day she hoped someone would make a special day just for mothers. So in 1914, Woodrow Wilson, president then, signed a bill recognizing Mother's Day as a national holiday. But it just so happened that Anna's mother's favorite flower was the white carnation, and it stood for the purity of a mother's love. That's why mothers often receive carnations on Mother's Day. The funny thing is, Anna ended up disliking Mother's Day. She didn't want Mother's Day to be all about the expensive gifts and the fancy flowers, but just a day to tell your mom that you love and appreciate her. One year for Mother's Day, I got a very unexpected gift. I still don't even think it qualified as a Mother's Day gift, but my family, on the other hand, was delighted and thought it was just right for me. Let me explain. Now, as you may remember, I do not like rodents, especially ones who come to visit my home. Well, on this Mother's Day, I just happened to be the first one out the door for church that morning. And lo and behold, I stepped right out of my kitchen door into the garage onto a dead mouse. My family thought, what better gift could I have asked for than a dead mouse? I, on the other hand, did not have the same opinion. Just to clarify, they did not place the mouse there for me to find. It was truly divine coincidence. Now, I'm sure I did receive a Mother's Day gift that year, although no one seems to remember what that was, but we haven't forgotten the Mother's Day mouse. Some gifts are just too special to forget. But in case you forgot that today is Mother's Day or haven't had a chance to get a gift, let me give you some advice for today. Our mothers are very special, and God knew how much we would need them. The Bible was written as an instruction manual for us, and it even gives us instructions on how to treat our mothers. You know the Ten Commandments. They were the rules that God gave to Moses for all of us to follow. Each commandment is very important, and God gave each commandment for a reason. One of the commandments says, honor your father and your mother so that all may go well for you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Well, what does honor mean anyway? Honor can mean many things. When we listen, obey, love, appreciate, and forgive our mom, that is how we honor her. That means when she asks you to do something, you should do it right away and without complaining. You show your mom love, too, by hugging her and telling her that you love her, and that's another way to show honor. You can also appreciate your mom by thanking her for the things that she does for you, like cleaning the house, doing your laundry, making you meals, helping you with schoolwork. But us moms aren't perfect all the time, and we all make mistakes. So we should forgive our moms when they make mistakes because God asks us to do that. Another verse in the Bible asks us to bless our mom, and it says, her children arise and call her blessed. Some words that describe blessed are that your mom belongs to God and we need to treat her like she's a child of God. Your mom used to be a child too, and she's just trying her best to help you to grow and learn things. So treat her nicely. Another way to describe blessed is to be happy. Do you make your mom happy? I'm sure you do a lot of the time, and moms can be sad because of different things sometimes too. But I don't think your mom would be happy if you didn't listen to her or if you disobey her. The last verse we're going to talk about says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I know that sometimes you don't always want to obey your parents, but it's important that you obey them because this makes God happy too. And one last thing, no matter how old you get, your mom is your mom. Sometimes you might think that you can talk back to your parents or that you know more than they do, but you don't. The Bible says to obey your parents always, not just when you're a kid. Your parents want what's best for you, and they know what they're talking about. But don't forget that we also have a Heavenly Father that cares and loves us no matter what. So if you don't have a mother around all the time, or even if you do, God is always there, and He is there when your mothers can't be.
The Lord is my shepherd.
That means that you're a sheep that belongs to Him.
That means that you don't have much intelligence and no independence.
I have all that I need.
That means you can trust Him for what you need.
But what's wrong with a little extra now and then?
He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams.
That means you can trust Him to stabilize you and wrap you in His peace, even when the circumstances around you are threatening.
Right. We'll see if that happens.
He renews my strength.
That means you can trust him to give you strength when yours is exhausted. Then you can finish the task he has asked you to do.
That's when I decide to go on vacation and finish the work later.
He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name.
That means you can trust his leading to be right and true, even when you are uncertain.
That shouldn't be a problem. All you need to do is look around to see where everyone else is going, and then just follow them.
Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me.
That means you can trust the shepherd to be close to you even when you are struggling desperately with pain, injustice, and alienation.
There are other remedies, you know.
You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil.
That means you can trust him to serve you with honor and victory, even when you are surrounded by people who despise you.
Personally, I prefer hanging out with my friends.
My cup overflows with blessings.
That means you can always trust your shepherd to desire the best for you.
But what if his best isn't what you want?
Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
That means you can trust him as your faithful shepherd to provide and protect, to strengthen and guide, to honor and bless, to give you a place of belonging and compassionate care now and forever.
That's too good to be true. Do you really believe all this?
Yes, I do. And I want the same for you.
Good morning, everyone. It's a real privilege to be able to stand and share God's word with you here after being led into worship already by so many people. I said this morning as we prayed before we began here in this space, the gathering may be virtual, but the worship is real. And our God, through the Holy Spirit, is what binds us together. Begin with a story. There was once an atheist and a widow who lived beside each other. The atheist looked down his nose at the widow. She prayed to God. He thought that was silly. One day he walked by her house and he heard her at her window praying, saying, "God, I don't know what to do. I don't have any food. Will you please send me some food? Please help me." The atheist had an idea. He went to the store, bought 4 bags of groceries, brought them back, put them on the porch of the widow, and then went back to his house to watch. She came out, saw the 4 bags of groceries, and began to praise God. "Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, for these groceries, this food." The atheist said, "Yoo-hoo, that wasn't God that gave you those groceries. I went out and bought them." "Thank you, God," she continued. "Thank you, God, you even got the devil to pay for them." I heard this story first at a Promise Keepers gathering in Atlanta, Georgia, some years ago. was told by an African-American pastor, and when he hit the punchline, the place erupted in laughter. I hope that you enjoyed it. You're not in the room, but for me, this is a wonderful story, and it also makes a serious point. We're in verse 5 of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, this series on trusting the Good Shepherd, we think that's particularly appropriate in this season. This verse says it clear. You, God, prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, even my atheist neighbor. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Trusting the shepherd, trusting the Lord. If you happen to have your Bibles open, or if you have this just from your own memory, if you look closely between verses 4 and 5, there actually seems to be a shift in the master metaphor or master image of the psalm. Up to this point, it's been a shepherd and sheep. And now with verse 5, it appears to be a host with guests. I mean, after all, what sheep eats at a table? What sheep drinks from a cup? So the image appears to be a king or a host preparing a table in front of his guests. That's what most commentaries actually say, that there's a shift of an image here between verse 4 and 5. But there are others, like Philip Keller, I think that's his name, who's a shepherd, who looked at the whole psalm through the eyes of a shepherd. And he sees the story of the sheep and the shepherd moving right on through, that in fact, what we're talking about here is a shepherd leading his sheep up to the tablelands, up to the Alps, the highlands in the summertime, and he's there preparing that beautiful space, cleaning out the springs, looking around for predators, making the place ready. So, what is it? Is it a shepherd and sheep? Is it a host and guests? Well, I don't think it matters at all. In fact, I believe the theme is exactly the same. The Lord God is the one who prepares food for us, a banquet for us. Whether we are sheep or whether we are his guests, the Lord God is the one, Yahweh, the same God that we worship through the eyes of the New Testament. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we don't need to choose between one image or the other. It's both and. God is king and we are guests. God is our shepherd. We are the sheep. God above us. God beside us. God within us. It's a beautiful image that we're wrestling with here, that we're looking at and exploring here in Psalm 23, verse 5. The word table itself here, you prepare a table before me. The word table is actually figurative. It's not a literal table. It's more the idea of a spread, a huge spread that is more than enough. Several different translations of this. You prepare a banquet for me, where all my enemies can see me. Good News Translation. From the Message, you serve me a 6-course dinner in front of my enemies, or where all my enemies can see me. And then, sort of my own paraphrase, you treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. There's a key word here in this verse, though, that might create problems for you. It's that word, enemies. A pastor once visited a woman who was being treated in the hospital for cancer. And he suggested to her that she might want to read from the Psalms. The Psalms are particularly poignant when it comes to human experience, from lavish joy to heartbreaking lament and pain. He suggested she might read from the Psalms as spiritual food for her. He came back several days later and she said, "I'm not so sure about that. All the way through the Psalms, there's lots of comments about enemies. Pastor, I don't have enemies." Well, I don't know how that strikes you. You might think alongside of her and say, "Well, I don't have enemies either. I'm at peace with everyone." I think we might get stuck on this word enemies and not understand what's going on. Who is David speaking about? Well, he had lots of family conflict, that's for sure. We can see that. He had political and military foes. There's sickness that he writes about as well, that he is afraid is going to take him to death. The terror of the night. Enemies, as David is writing about here, is kind of a general term, an adversary, those that are intending danger, those that we are afraid of. So I think if you get a little bit hung up on this word enemies, and I confess I did also, I believe God has a word of truth and grace for us in this verse. First of all, I'd like us to think of enemies on a personal level, and this might be the most difficult. Here's another true story. A young couple was married, and after several years of marriage, they had, I believe it was two children. Then the husband left, and left the mother, wife, and two small children at home. Over the next several years, it was really hard. It was not the life that she had imagined for herself and her family at all. And one of the verses that she repeated to herself regularly as she set the table for her children: "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." I'm sure it was a prayer both of a prayer for help and also a prayer of gratitude that in this time where there had been a breach and a break in a relationship, God supplied what she needed for her young family. You may struggle to think about enemies, adversaries, or people who despise you. I suggest that we can think about it in several different ways that we might be able to connect with. Those that we blame for things and that we perhaps haven't forgiven. Those who have betrayed us, perhaps in a relationship, in the family. Someone who's cheated us in a business transaction. Those who have mistreated us, left us alone. Or it might be those that we criticize, those that we complain about. The pool begins to broaden, doesn't it? It might be those that we're somewhat fearful about, or we're cautious around, that we don't trust. The pool begins to get bigger. in the words of the psalmist, these are the ones who are unable to harm or mar the joy of the guest and the banquet spread. The focus is not on gloating that I've got this and my enemies don't. The focus is much more on God's generosity, God's lavish feast that he has prepared. In the midst of personal misunderstanding, God provides a banquet. Song of Solomon 2:4, he brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Chuck Colson, 50 years ago, was known as the hatchet man for President Richard Nixon. He got caught up in the Watergate scandal. And he saw he was going to be going to prison. One of his friends gave him the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis that explains some of the basics of the Christian faith. And Colson read this book and encountered Jesus and gave his life to Jesus. Well, you can imagine the newspapers who heard this news about his conversion were persuaded that he was doing this to get a reduced sentence. Well, the next 50 years proved them that they were wrong. Chuck Colson became a leading advocate for prison reform. He wrote dozens of books. This verse became his refrain. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Let's also think more broadly about enemies, though. What we're going through right now with the pandemic, the pestilence, the enemy, the unseen enemy that is out to infect and make people ill and to kill some and to put us all into a place of uncertainty. This is a kind of enemy that many of us haven't faced in quite this way before. I confess that back in the middle of March when Governor Wolf shut things down, I expected the numbers to go down, or at least slow, and then to begin to go down new infections here in Montgomery County. There might be a slowing, but in fact, the numbers continue to go up. It has a kind of relentlessness to it. An enemy that's out to make us sick and keep us from each other and to test our faith in God. It's affected all of us. What does it mean for those of you who are medical workers to say, God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies? What does it mean for those of you who are employers who are facing real financial hardship? What about those? What does it mean for those of you who have lost your jobs? What does it mean for parents at home with children, youth, young adults? Especially, what does it mean for our senior saints in retirement communities? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We have to confess, this is an enemy. This is an enemy, but our God is bigger and stronger than this enemy. Our God is one who stands with us in this life and in the life to come. Psalm 46 says it so well for this moment. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. God does not forsake us when enemies surround. In fact, God comes to us in a particularly lavish and generous way. And he calls those of us to partner with him and to prepare food for others, to do good, to offer ourselves as his hands and feet, to give to others, to witness for the kingdom of God that has begun and stretches from now into eternity. I love these verses from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, they're up there on the screen. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, including coronavirus, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's one more enemy we need to look at here. And this enemy goes by different names. Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the father of lies, the power of evil, the destroyer, the accuser. This is the tempter who met Jesus in the desert right after Jesus' baptism. This is our adversary that stands behind all other enemies. We have repeated warnings about this in the New Testament. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who destroys both body and soul in hell. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This ancient adversary and his first and second mate, sin and death. What does it mean to say, you, God, prepare for me a banquet in the presence of my enemies? I believe this passage ultimately points towards the Lord's Supper, towards Jesus' covenant meal with his disciples, toward the Lord's table, towards the eventual wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven. Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 24. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it, a banquet. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." We see specifically foreshadowed in verse 5 of Psalm 23, this table of the Lord, prepared in front of enemies, the sacred covenant meal. We also see foreshadowed anointing my head with oil. Jesus, Messiah, means anointed one. The Holy Spirit is often spoken of as one who anoints us with power from God. My cup runs over speaks about the blessings that come to us through faith in Jesus Christ. I'd like to look for a moment with you at this next slide. I found this online. It's specifically from Psalm 23, verse 5. And it portrays this verse in sort of an intriguing way. If you look closely, when you look closely at this picture, what you see is a table that's spread that is actually a cross. You see the foot of the cross where that ancient adversary, the devil, head is staked to the foot of the cross. Then you see the cross arm set as a table, a literal table for us. The covenant meal, the wedding feast of the Lamb that we anticipate. And in the center, we see the menorah, the oil lamp that speaks of the Holy Spirit. And behind that are the wings to represent the Holy Spirit, a shepherd, and the bride of Christ, the church. I'd like to conclude by just inviting you to think about your response to all of these enemies. Personal, pandemic, power of evil, and what it means to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Some of you watching know what I'm talking about. You're nodding your head in complete agreement. You know firsthand the experience and the truth of that verse. That's exactly right, you say. I can tell you stories. My word to you is tell those stories. Let others know how God has prepared a table, a banquet in front of your enemies. Another group of you are people of faith. You believed this in the past, but circumstances of life have battered you and your personal confidence. Your enemies seem to be getting the better of you. Your capacity to pray, your trust in God is in danger of evaporating. My word to you is don't give up. Hold on to God, and you will discover that God is holding on to you. He is not far away. Hang in there. Hang in there with his people. Their faith in God, their love for each other, their joy in life, and their hope for the future will rub off on you. Some of you may be apathetic or skeptical or even atheists. You happen to be watching right now. This God stuff, you say, is all nonsense and wishful thinking. God could never forgive me for what I've done. Besides, the concept of God is just for people who need a crutch, an imaginary friend. My word for you, have you ever doubted your doubts? Have you ever longed for purpose and meaning in life beyond getting rich, getting popular, getting things, getting laid, and getting by? Have you ever really looked at the evidence for God? What would happen if you followed your heart? You may have been hurt by the church, but I urge you not to give up on Jesus. In his company, there is genuine forgiveness of mistakes and sin. There is real purpose for living. There is a banquet in the face of your enemies. Following him, there is a new beginning. He is offering you this banquet in sight of your foes. He wants to welcome you as an honored guest and fill you to overflowing with the cup of life. Pray with me. God, there are enemies that surround. Sometimes they have faces and they're personal. Sometimes they're invisible, like the pandemic. Sometimes they are evil itself, intentions that are there to cheat and harm and destroy like a roaring lion. But in all of that, you, the Good Shepherd, you, the gracious King and host, offer a banquet to those that you love. We claim that gift and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently. Change, he faithful will.
What table is God preparing before you in the presence of your enemies? Whatever your enemy may be, invisible or visible, may we remember that God's power is greater, and may we have the strength to walk to the banquet that the Good Shepherd is preparing for us. Blessings on your week.
Creatures.